Today for the message about how that we are chosen by God. We are chosen by God. And so I would like to just acknowledge the presence of the Lord and invite him to speak through me. I'm only a vessel, not anybody except a vessel that he can use if I yield to him. And you are a vessel to receive in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that we have felt your presence here today. We are so thankful that we can know you, that you are with us, and that you speak to our hearts and to our spirits. Thank you, Lord. We pray, O God, that you will speak to us today. Help me, Lord, to say the words that you have given me to say, and let it sink into our hearts, and may we be more like you in every way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chosen by God. As a child, I remember, and perhaps some of you as well, remember when we used to break up and we'd have a captain, a team here and a team here. We were going to play a game, whatever it was, whether it was steal the flag or volleyball or softball. And in elementary school and as a young person, I too was one of those that was standing there hoping. Sometimes I was the captain, but sometimes I was not. And I was hoping that I would be chosen, that I would be selected, because those that were left behind and weren't chosen were the ones that were not prepared and very good players. They assessed them to be not as good. And I just recall the anticipation and the excitement when I was chosen on a team that I knew would win. And that's the way it is today. God, we are chosen by God, and we have a purpose. He has a purpose for our lives. I can't help but remember the account of the vision my husband had just a few days before he left this world. And he told me very, very emotionally, he recounted the story. He said he saw himself around the throne of God, at the throne of people, a throng of people around the throne of God, and he desired to get there to God. And he began to run, and this angelic being stepped out and said, "Wait a minute, who are you to presume to tread these holy courts of heaven?" And he said, "I thought I would die. I thought I was not going to be chosen. I could not go before God." And he said, "It's a terrible feeling to feel that way." But he said, "The Lord stood up, and he pointed to me, and he said, 'I know him. I choose him. Let him come to me.'" And he said it was the most wonderful feeling, and I know that he told most of you have heard that. But he said when he got that beckon from the Lord that he was selected and chosen, and that God knew him, he knew his life, and he knew him. And most of all, he knew the blood of Jesus was applied. It's not our works that makes us worthy, but he was chosen by God. Jesus said in John, the 6th chapter, verse 44, he said, "No one can come to me," to Jesus said, "no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." God draws us to him. Through Jesus, we are drawn. Some might say, "Well, it really has nothing to do with me. It's all up to God." We hear that in some religious circles. "Well, I don't have any choice. You know, I've been destined for something, and that's it. I'm not going to choose anything." But that's not so. Jesus said in John, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 17, he said to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus came to him, and he believed his good works earned his salvation. Nicodemus was a ruler. He was one of the religious group. And whenever he asked Jesus about it, Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent, the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up." Now, you remember the story of the snake that was lifted up in the wilderness. The people were murmuring and complaining and griping about Moses' leadership. And so God told Moses, he said, "You erect and the snakes." So God sent snakes that bit them. And when they bit them, they were poisonous. The people died. And Moses said, "God, don't destroy the people. The whole thing that you had planned, they're going to be destroyed." And God said, "Okay," he said, "I'll make provision. You get a bronze pole." He put a bronze snake on that pole. And when the people are bitten, if they will look at that snake, That representation of Jesus is what it was. He said, they will live, they will not die. Now, if they choose to say, no, I ain't going to look at that, there's nothing to it, they died. And so he said, the snake in the wilderness, the Son of Man, must be lifted up just like that, that everyone who believes may have life in him, eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. It doesn't say that he loved just a certain few, the ones that were selected only for his eternal kingdom. No, it said he loved them all. Whoever believes, God loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, might be saved. Some people think that God is, and you've probably heard this, you invite somebody to go to church, oh, I ain't going to go there. The building would fall in. It would collapse. I'm not going there. God doesn't like me. I don't want anything to do with that. But that's not true. He said, whoever, he didn't come to condemn. He came to bring salvation to whomever will believe. Everyone who believes in Jesus can have eternal life. In John, the 14th chapter, verse 6, Jesus told his disciples, and he says it to us as well. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. There are some people that say, well, we're all on a path to that eternal home. We're all going to God. Some choose one way or some another. There is no other way. Jesus told us very clearly. He said, I am the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I am the only way. So we hear many times people will, and of course in public gatherings many times, they don't want you to use the name of Jesus. But they just pray a prayer, but leave Jesus out. Well, I'm going to tell you that only through Jesus can we reach the Father. There are some people who teach that salvation is only for a select, chosen few, and that we have no choice as to whether we're part of that select few. That is not so. Jesus declared boldly that salvation is for all who believe. He paid a great price for us to be united with God, but Satan does not want us to believe that. He wants us to believe that we are rejected, we're not chosen. He wants us to believe that God is unjust and that he chooses only certain ones to receive eternal life. But that is not true. The Bible is filled with the call of God for mankind to respond to the good news of the gospel. The Bible, all throughout the Bible, everywhere you open it, it will bleed. If you want it, it's looking toward Jesus' death or looking back to it. Either way, it is the way to God. Jesus said, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Does he mean that we will not, this physical body will not decay? No, he means we will live eternally in his presence. We will never die. Our spirit will live on. In Romans, the 10th chapter, Paul said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Anybody who calls on the name of the Lord. There have been men out in the trenches fighting a war, and they've called upon God, and the Lord hears them where they are. And you can be in a difficult situation. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Revelation, the 22nd chapter, there John's talking. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. God's Holy Spirit, he's telling us to come. He wants us to come to him. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. If you desire to be one of God's chosen, he's chosen you. Jeremiah, the 1st chapter, verse 5, God said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He's saying, before you were even born, when you were still in your mother's womb, I had a purpose and a plan and a design for your life. I wonder how many purposes and how many people have had a design and have never been able to fulfill it because somebody shorten their lives, abortion, whatever happens. They don't allow them to fulfill the call of God. But you may have doubts about God choosing people that we may not choose. But as we look through the Bible, we will discover that God does, in fact, choose those that we would overlook. And in the world today, many people that we would overlook and say, I can't believe God would not use that person because of this flaw or this dilemma. I remember years ago that my husband and I were pastoring a church in Mesa. And there was a man there that my husband gave a prophecy, prophesied over the man, and he said, you're going to be going to, you know, a missionary. You're going to preach the gospel. And I thought, that guy is not anything close to a missionary. How is he going to preach the gospel? But I didn't deny. Afterwards, I said, honey, he said, I just said what God told me to say. And you know that as time went on, this man was a businessman. He worked in technology, and he didn't have any desire to do that. But the time came when everything changed and turned around. He literally became a missionary on the mission field. He went to Mexico and he preached. He gave up his job. And I remember the prophetic word that came. I thought he would never be one that God would use in that area, but he was. And God chooses people that we think we would overlook, and we don't see how they would be used. No matter what others think of you, God chose you. Although the world may reject us, God looks beyond what the world thinks and reasons. He looks for a yielded heart that he can mold. He doesn't look, he doesn't see as man sees. He said whenever David came before, he came before Samuel, and they said, well, this Samuel said, you know, every one of these guys that I've tried to anoint, they're not the one. And God said, I don't look to see as man sees. I look on the inward. Man looks on the outside, and we do that many times. We do not see what God sees and what he will do in a life. We choose, sometimes we say, this person has a flaw that can never be used. But I'm telling you that that's not the way God sees it. When we choose to be transformed by God, God can use us for his purpose. All we need to do is be a yielded vessel. Say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm here to do it. There are many examples of people who were chosen by God for surprising tasks. I'll mention only a few, and you can think, you can go through the Bible, and you can find so many of them. But look at Joseph, chosen by God. One of Jacob's 12 sons, and the one Jacob loved the most, but he was the one the other brothers hated. You remember the story about his coat, and they didn't like the dreams and everything. Well, they sold him as a slave to some people headed to Egypt. And you remember the story, how that Joseph seemed like everything that he had envisioned and everything he thought was going to happen and he was going to look forward to, it all was crumbling around him, it seemed. But he unexpectedly became quite successful in Egypt after a long journey with many twists and turns, how he went to prison for something that he was not guilty of. And it looked like everybody and Satan himself was against him. But God used Joseph to help Egypt prepare for a great famine and sustain his chosen people. God had a purpose. Sometimes we go through dark places and we say, God, you don't have any use for me. I'm nothing but a failure. Everything I try to do seems to crumble. And it seemed that way to Joseph, but God had a purpose and a plan. He had a specific purpose. Joseph, it says, he said, you intended me when his brothers were afraid after they discovered who he was. They had reason to be afraid, didn't they? The natural man would have said, you know, you deserve, boy, I'm going to get retribution now. But Joseph did not do that because he was a yielded vessel before God. And Joseph said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Not so that I could be exalted or I could be important or I could say, I told you so. but so that I could save the lives. God used me as his vessel. That's what God is looking for, is chosen vessels that he can use. Moses was chosen by God. God used Moses to preserve his chosen people. You remember how that he grew up in Pharaoh's house. First of all, he sustained Moses because he wanted him to be exposed to Pharaoh and all of the things there. But anyway, and then God used him, preserved him from death as a baby, and God chose him for a specific purpose, to free the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And he did that. What a marvelous calling God had on his life. But look at all the turmoil, all of the heartaches, all the pitfalls that happened before that. Sometimes we have the idea that if God has chosen us, then everything should go smoothly. There should be nothing that goes wrong in our lives. But that's not the way that it goes. We are yielded vessels. God will use us for his glory, for his purpose, not to exalt us. David was chosen by God. He was the youngest of Jesse's sons and the least likely to be anointed king. And he was small, but he was a mighty warrior. You may see somebody you say is small, or he doesn't have the qualifications, but he's a warrior. He's yielded to God, and that was David. He killed lions and bears, and he would one day kill Goliath. He was chosen by God to be king because he was a man after God's heart. You say, how could he be a man after God's heart? Look at all of the terrible, ugly things he did. But there was one characteristic that David had. That was that he was repentant. He never said, because it was, I did that and I excused it. He did not do that. He recognized that he had sinned. And he said, I've sinned. And then he turned and he said, God, I'll take the punishment. You're the one who dishes it out. Don't let man do it. You give it to me. I deserve it. God, David was a man that was after God's heart because he recognized and admitted that he had failed. Mary was chosen by God. Mary, a young virgin girl from the small town of Nazareth, a place that was unheard of almost, did nothing. A girl that no one would have expected to become the mother of God's son. Mary had an open heart and a willingness to do whatever God asked of her. She did not understand how it could be. She said, how could this be, seeing that I have never been with a man and you're saying I'm going to bear a child? But she trusted God and she gave herself as a willing vessel to do whatever God asked of her, even though she knew it could cost her her future. It could cost her her very life and her reputation, but she staked it all on what God wanted. God calls us and chooses us because he wants a willing vessel. He has a calling for each of us. It's a different calling from the other person, but it's unique. There are countless examples in Scripture of people being chosen by God. People who had no other qualifications except that they were willing to be used for God's purpose. You remember Gideon, and I could begin to go down and just to name quite a few of them. But God calls those who are willing. Jesus' disciples, I look at them chosen by God. Jesus selected his disciples. He made surprising choices of men chosen to do God's work. But look at these men. They were fishermen and tax collectors. They were disdained. People who were dishonest, tax collectors. And fishermen that were ignorant. They were not religious. There wasn't a religious leader among them. They were not experts in God's teachings, and they would have never been selected to start a church. But they had one thing going for them. Jesus had chosen them. And they were willing vessels, and they followed him, and they became. Jesus instructed them to love one another. He reminded them to abide in him. He taught them and they listened. He told them that he would be leaving soon to prepare a place for them, that where he was, they could come. They had to remember that Jesus had chosen them to represent him and his message to the world. They were chosen for the specific purpose of preaching the gospel. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, they were preachers. They were fishermen. There were tax collectors, disdained people. I wonder how many times they would have to remember that Jesus chose them. Even when they were ignored or ridiculed, when they were hated and persecuted, when they were imprisoned, when they were facing death. How many times did they remind themselves that Jesus had chosen them? And he chose them for a reason. Jesus chose them and entrusted them with his mission to go share the gospel. He did not go to the religious leaders of the world then. He did not go to those who knew all of the law and they could spout it out and testify. He didn't go to those who had great wealth. He went to the fishermen, those who were ignorant. He went to those who were willing to hear him and follow him. His command was, forsake everything, come and follow me. And that's what he chooses. That's what he says when he chooses us, is come and follow me. And so the disciples were chosen by Jesus for a particular purpose in this world. But they're not the only ones. Each one of us has also been chosen by God for a special and unique purpose in this world. You may say, I don't see how I've been made an impact in anybody's life. And you know, we will never know until one day we're on the other side. There may be somebody that says, because of you, I'm here today. Or is it somebody that can say, because you were not there to do the thing God chose you to do, I'm not there. You know, I think that we need to understand that each of us has been chosen by God for a special and unique purpose in this world. It's not the same as somebody else. We can look at the outward appearance and we can say that could never be. This person is not qualified. God doesn't call the qualified. He calls and qualifies those he calls. And so we need to be ready to be qualified by God. Jesus said that in the 15th chapter of John, he said to his disciples, he said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Remember how he went there and he said, he saw them fishing and he said, come, throw your net, come and follow me, follow me. And they threw it aside. He said, I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. I'm going to tell you, he said, whatever you begin to preach because of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of my spirit, it's going to remain. You're going to get a following. People will begin. I mean, look at us today. If it had not been for those disciples that answered the call, would we know the gospel today? No, probably not. If God would have had to call somebody else. He said that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father, he told them, in my name, he may give it you. Whatever you need, God will give you. If you're not qualified, he will qualify you. In Ephesians, the writer there, Paul, says, even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be his. But how? Through our union with Christ. We are not chosen because we are just special. We're chosen through our union with Christ. That's how we can be chosen by God, so that we would be holy. That's what he chose us to be, is holy and without fault before him because of his love. He loved us, but he wants us to follow him. He said, Jesus is the way. No other way can we be called by God. He's called us to submit and go through Jesus. In Colossians, the third chapter, verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, Paul writes, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. As we know Jesus, that's the kind of characteristics that he gives us, those things. He says to do that. God has chosen us to be the light of the world. In Matthew 5:14, he says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. You're the light that's up on this hilltop. People will look and they will see you. Are you really a light or are you darkness? We are God's special possession. In Jeremiah 32, he wrote there, "And they shall be my people." I know that Jeremiah was getting this message, and he wrote it about the Jewish people, but we have been adopted in, and it applies to us as well. We don't replace them, but we have been brought in. We have been adopted in. "And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, only one way, only Jesus, that they may fear me forever, says the Lord, for their own good and for the good of their children after them." I'm doing this. It will carry down to our children if we will just carry on. Jesus is the only way. If you are listening today to this message, you say, "I don't feel like my life has purpose. I don't even feel like it's worthwhile. Much of the time, it seems like that it's just useless, the things I do and say." Jesus wants to become the life in you. He wants to show you his purpose. He will use you for his glory. But it's only through Jesus that your life can be fully fulfilled and you can serve the purpose God has for you. Every man, every woman, every boy, girl, every child, God has a unique purpose and a plan for your life. Before the foundation of the world, he said, "Oh, this is the area. Yours may be in music. Yours may be in drama. Yours may be in feeding the hungry." Whatever it is, I can think of so many people that I have known that have had such beautiful purposes and plans that God used them for his benefit, for his service. And so we can be used, but it's only as we surrender to Jesus and we give him our lives that he can use our lives. If you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, you're watching today, you say, "I'd like for my life to be worthwhile. Sometimes I feel like, what is life all about?" I see people that are committing suicide. They said, "Life has no meaning." It does have meaning, but the meaning comes through Jesus. If you have not accepted him, I plead with you today. Today is the day of salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know the hearts of those who are watching today. There are those that say, "I seem to have no meaning. I don't have a purpose." I pray, Lord, that you will show them that you are the way, that you are life, you are truth. May they accept you as Lord and Savior of their lives, and then show them how they can be used for your kingdom glory. We love you and thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your life that we could have eternal life. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen. Amen. We thank you today for joining us at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. I trust that you will walk with the Lord and that you will find Jesus to be all that I have claimed that he is, because he is that. If you don't read your Bible, get a Bible, begin to read. Jesus is life. Thank you for joining us today. Okay, is there anybody that has something you need to say, or something that you'd like to share with us, or something you want us to pray about? I want us to remember those who are not here today. There are reasons that they are not here. I know that we've mentioned those, but just continue to pray for them as you pray each day. And I encourage you to just pray every day. Say, "Lord, maybe you don't feel very important, and you think, well, what is my prayer worth?" Your prayer is, it's stronger. You and God are a majority. When you join forces with God, it's greater force than all the angelic beings. They don't have that privilege, but you do. So let's just pray for one another. Is there anybody that especially we need to pray about? We didn't mention Steve, my brother Steve. We did slightly, you know, but I know that he's coming to Phoenix, I think the 30th.